I hope so. We are here today to give glory to the creator of the universe, the one that was rejected so that we can be accepted, the one that was denied so that we can be recognized by God Almighty and reconciled into a right relationship with him. And boy, do we have so much to be thankful for tonight. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we have something to celebrate and rejoice over. Well, it's so great to be with you men tonight. As Pastor Jerry shared, my name is Brennan Beeler, and I pastor Calvary Chapel in Eagle for the last year. Before that, I was pastoring a Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach, California. And before that, I was at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa most of my life under Chuck Smith. And I was able to church plant 12 years ago, and then the Lord would lead my family and I to Idaho, where we're ministering currently. And what a blessing and honor it is to be with you guys today. And I know you already know this. The men that fellowship here, Pastor Jerry, his wife, not only their heart for Calvary Chapel St. George, but their heart for just the body of Christ throughout all of Utah. And to be able to have something like this where we all as men from different churches can gather together to study God's word together. And I'm just so thankful for him. And can we just put our hands together and thank God for Pastor Jerry and the work that God's doing here? Well, today's conference, or this weekend's conference, is called Man Up. Obviously, that's why they brought me out to speak about Man Up. From James chapter 1, verse 22, for us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. To man up when it comes to our spiritual walk with God. So let's prepare our hearts to hear a word from God. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to two places? Would you turn with me to James chapter 1? James chapter 1, and then if you have fast page flipping fingers, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and put a bookmark there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But we'll launch from James chapter 1. I've been commissioned today to talk to you about manning up in your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And so tonight, we're going to start with the foundational principle for a man of God, for us to man up or to step up to become the men of faith that God would have us to be. And I want to talk to you about being faithful to what God has called you to. Being faithful in the role that God has placed you in, whether that is as a single man or as a married man or as a father or as a grandfather or an employer or an employee, whatever role that God has placed you in, to be faithful in the calling that God has upon your life, no matter the opposition or difficulty. Because today I want us to see that it's the very difficulty and opposition that causes our faith to flourish. And so I want to share a message with you that I've entitled Resistance Training. And I want you to feel encouraged just to say amen. You can nod your head. Just don't nod off. And let's lean in to see what God has for us. Are you ready to receive a word from God today? Are you excited, men, believing that God has something for you today? Well, then let's pray and ask him to bless this time that we have to be together. Father, we come before you right now, humbling ourselves, recognizing, God, we're not who we used to be. But Lord, we might feel far from where we know that you want us to be. And so, God, we pray that you would take our lives and continue to transform us and mold us and shape us into the men that you would have us to be. That tonight, God, maybe there's some things that you want to chisel away, things that you want to burn off, things that you want to do within our hearts. We thank you that you love us the way that we are, but you love us too much to leave us the way that we are. And so, God, I pray tonight you would work within our lives as we open up your word, God, that you would open up our hearts. You would do that open heart surgery and cut away the things of our lives that are not of you. As David prayed, search me and know me, O God, and show me if there's any wicked way within me. Lord, maybe there's some things in our lives that we've accepted that you haven't as part of our lives. Lord, whatever it may be in our lives, we pray that tonight you would continue to grow us and make us more like you. And as we open up your word and understand more of it, who it is that you are, we would have a greater understanding tonight, more of who it is that you would have us to be as you make us more like you. And so we give you all the glory and honor that's due your name for this time that we have to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a culture driven by convenience. Whatever's easiest, whatever's quickest, it's what we are now more prone to do in culture. I mean, don't believe me? I mean, we pull up Maps or Waze or whatever app it is that you use to find the quickest point from point A to point B. You don't even have to go to the bank anymore to deposit a check. You just pull out your phone and take a picture of it and submit it because ain't nobody got time for that, driving all the way down to the bank. We have fast food because, well, we don't have time for a slow food. So we need fast food. Give it to me quick. And you know, if you hear a song on the radio that you like, you can just ask your phone, what song is this? And it will prompt you to purchase it or download it onto your phone. I mean, we have everything so convenient in our lives now. I mean, there's an app for everything. But because we live in a culture driven by convenience, we have formed the propensity as men to take the path of least resistance. Whichever way's easiest, whichever way's most convenient, that's the way that we often go. But the character of taking the path of least resistance has destroyed something in our culture, especially in men, the men that God would call us to be, something called perseverance, endurance, and faithfulness in our lives. The theme of this conference today is man up. And this phrase man up, sometimes it's used in a derogatory term because, you're not acting like a man, maybe a boy, maybe a female, who knows, but the term that's often used is, hey, man up. It means to have courage. It can be defined as this way, dealing with something in a way that would be considered strong or manly. How can we be the strong men of faith when oftentimes we don't have enough strength to stand against the tides of culture? The tides of society that are going in the opposite direction. I want to give you three truths today that will help you as men understand in a greater way, that will greatly help you remain faithful in all that God has called you to do. I want to give you three things that I want you to write down, take to heart, and take with you tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes, or even if you're not, write it down on your phone. Number one, you need to understand resistance brings results. Resistance brings results. It's the very heart of what we hear in our theme text for this conference in James chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2, I'll read it to you. It says, dear brothers, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. Now, at first, this sounds like some crazy talk. When difficulties and trials come my way, I should be happy about it. Dude, this guy's crazy. What do you mean I should be happy that I'm going through difficulty? No, he's not saying that you should be happy that you're going through difficulty. But you should have joy, which is different than happiness. Man, happiness is dependent upon the circumstances around you. Joy that God gives is not dependent upon the circumstances around you. It has to do with what God has already done with inside of you. And it says for us as men to count it all joy when we go through various trials. Why? Not that we're going through them, but what will take place in our lives when we go through them. It goes on to say in verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, here it is, your endurance has a chance to grow. So, verse 4, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. James says to the men, listen, when you go through difficulties, opposition, when you're experiencing the resistance in life, count it joy when you go through various trials, testings. The testing of your faith, that's the difficulties that you go through in life. That's the uncertain times that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how good can come from this, but when you go through testings of your faith that God will take you through, men, pass the test. Because as you go through those testings, it says that it produces endurance. As you go through the difficulties that life will bring your way, those difficulties, those testings of your faith will produce endurance. Have you ever heard of endurance training? Endurance training, there's all different kinds of endurance training. There's running, there's jogging. And the more that you run, well, when you start running, maybe you try to run a block around the church to start. I mean, maybe that's just your starting point. And when you run, you're so out of breath, you're gassed. You're like, man, I can take about 100 steps. Like, I could probably run about to the back of the sanctuary, and then I'm done. You know, and then you keep running, though. And then you run the next day and the next day, and you begin to build endurance so that you can run further and that you can last longer. You know, I started trying to run. You know, I turned 40 this year, and something happened to my body when I turned 40. Started falling apart. All you guys that are 50 are just saying, well, just wait, Pastor. And all the guys that are 60 are saying they don't even know those 50-year-olds. And then the 70-year-olds are like, you think this is something. But all you 20-year-olds, you don't even know what's up. So here I started running. And then I read, well, Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked run when no one chases him. So there's that. So I gave that up. And so I started working out and lifting weights, which is another style of endurance training, working out. And when you start working out, it's hard. You know, you're trying to lift some weight. And after like the third set, you're like, man, I'm toast. I have nothing left. But the more that you lift, the more you're able to lift, the more weight you're able to push, and the stronger you become. You see, it's through the resistance that brings the results. And we know that to be true, whether it's running or working out, or maybe you've ever seen those infomercials with like those rubber bands. I started working out with this guy who's a CrossFitter, and he has all these rubber bands. And I'm looking at these rubber bands like, I'm not going to lift rubber bands. What type of joke is this? And then he made me do like 200 reps of something, and I never felt my arms again after that. And you see, like on those infomercials, you know, people have those rubber bands, and they talk about resistance training and the results that come from resistance. And just like resistance training, in the same way, when you go through opposition, difficulty, resistance in culture and in your life, listen, it's going to cause you to get stronger spiritually. The more resistance that you encounter, the more strength that will come from that. You see, oftentimes when things are easy, oh, we like it that way. We like it when things are just going smooth. But what takes place is when your faith doesn't need to be exercised, your faith atrophies. In the same way our muscles atrophy when we don't work out. That when you don't exercise your faith, when there's nothing to have faith in God for, because, well, I got it all worked out, everything's going easy, everything's nice, our faith begins to diminish. Our faith needs to be exercised. How does faith grow? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We need to be the men that God has called us to be, exercising our faith, being in God's word, in church, studying God's word, being men of God's word, so that we can be men who stay faithful. Faithful in the calling that God has for us. What is it that God has called you to? To parent your children? To be a faithful husband? To be a leader? To be a spiritually mature man, to serve in the ministry and the church that God has called you to call home? What has God called you to do? How are we going to be able to stay faithful to the end if God hasn't strengthened our faith to endure to the end? You see, resistance brings results. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." You see, men, trials that God allows into our lives aren't meant to break us, but to make us into the men he's called us to be. You see, trials in our life are not meant to make us fail, but to show us how far we can fly. I flew in yesterday, and something that I learned is that when airplanes take off, they take off into the wind. In the direction that the wind is blowing in, that's the direction that they head. And the reason why, it's through the opposition of the wind that causes the uplift under the wings that will lift a plane that weighs thousands upon thousands of tons, and it will lift it up like nothing because of the opposition of the wind. In the same way, God allows opposition or difficulties in our life not to break us, but to cause us to rise up, to show us how far we can fly, to cause us to have the strength that we need to go further. You see, the winds that come against us in life, the culture, the tides, what's popular in society, oftentimes are the things that we think will bring us down. But to God, they're the very things in our lives that he will use to lift us higher, to keep us going forward. And so we are told to count it all joy when we go through these trials, because it's making us stronger even if we don't see it. Men, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And I don't know about you, but I want to have faith that can stand the test of time. A man that will be faithful to the end. A man that will stand before God one day and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And if we're going to be men that remain faithful in all that God has called us to, we can't allow the difficulties to dissuade us from our calling. Oftentimes, we want to be comfortable in our calling, but God allows there to be difficulties. And those difficulties often will cause us to quit our calling, but God uses it to strengthen us to go forward in our calling. And that leads us to the very second thing that we want to see tonight. The second truth that will greatly help us remain faithful in all that God has called us to is realizing this: strength comes from the struggle. What we need to know tonight is this: just because something is hard doesn't mean that it's not God. Think about that for a moment. Just because the ministry that God's called you to is hard, just because your marriage currently is hard, just because the workplace that you are in right now, you hate that guy, you hate that boss, I just don't like him, I don't want to be here. Just because it is hard, it does not mean that it is not God. And oftentimes, because it's hard, we want to get out of the very place that God has placed us, out of the relationship, out of the home. Those kids are hard. I understand. I have three. My wife of 15 years. She's home alone, single mom in it for 2 days, 3 days. Poor woman. I understand. My wife, she's something special. She ever leaves me, I'm going with her. I understand that your calling might be hard. Whatever it is that God has placed you in. And we think if things are easy, then it's God. If things are hard, this must not be God. But do you understand that the greatest character in your life is grown in hardship? That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 5, you can write it down, I'll read it to you, we'll put it up on the screens. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, that we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops, here it is, strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Strength comes from the struggle. You see, God allows us to go through times of difficulty so that our faith would be strengthened in such a way that the next difficult thing that we walk through, we would have the strength to overcome it. Faith does not grow when circumstances are easy. Faith grows through strain and through stress, just like diamonds are formed. You realize diamonds are nothing but worthless coal that have spent an extended period of time under great pressure and great heat. Great pressure and the fire. Being in the fire and in pressure takes something that's worthless and turns it into something that is invaluable. Do you realize that God doesn't want to leave you as a lump of coal, but that God wants to make you something that would be precious and invaluable to your family, to your community? But in order to do that, there has to be things that are burnt away, things that are chipped away to make us the men that God's called us to be. And the more struggle, the stronger you're going to become. You see, difficulty develops our faith. What type of faith do you want in your life? What type of faithful man do you want to be? Do you want to have weak sauce faith? Do you want to have Happy Meal faith? Do you want to have faith that doesn't stand the test of time? I know that you want to have faith that lasts. So when it is time for you to go through the testings, embrace whatever it is that God will walk you through, knowing that's going to be completing the perfect work that God has called for you to complete. Everything worth having comes from trials worth standing. Everything worth having comes from trials worth withstanding. When we finally understand this, we can truly be glad, even though we're enduring a trial presently, because you see that it's accomplishing wonderful things in your life, making you look like, act like, more like, becoming like Jesus. C.S. Lewis put it this way: hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. God has extraordinary things planned for your life. He's created you specifically to accomplish only what you can accomplish. His plans for your life. You're not here by chance. You're not here by accident. And God has a purpose for you for such a time as this. But he has to make you strong enough to handle the extraordinary things that he has for you. And the third and final truth that will greatly help us remain faithful in all that God has called us to do is realizing there needs to be, number three, preparation for the prize. In our journey through life, we have to realize that life hits hard. There's going to be times as men that others won't be able to understand the pressures and the need to provide, to lead, and everything else that we have on our plates to take care of, to watch over, to be the priest that is the spiritual leader of our homes, to be the provider, to be the protector, to be the pursuer in our relationships. That in order for us to be all that God has called us to be, there has to be preparation. You see, life's going to hit hard. And even Jesus said that. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's not a verse that we have highlighted in our Bibles. God, I'm going to claim this promise for me today. Hallelujah. Underline that. Circle that. Star that for me. That's not one of the promises that we claim. Like, we claim a lot of promises in the Bible for our lives, don't we? Like, the Lord gives me all the desires of my heart. Oh, Lord, thank you for that one. Oh, yes, Jesus. I desire a hot wife. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to claim that for me. But when it comes to Jesus promising, you will have trouble. Uh-oh. Jesus never promised if you follow him, you would have an easy life. That's modern day Christianity. Oh, listen, just come to Jesus and everything will be better. No, that's not what the Bible promises. He promises that you will be better. He'll give you a new life. He'll transform you. But he never promises that life is going to be easy afterwards. Talk about the first century church, fed to lions, burnt at the stake, martyred, stoned, boiled in oil. It costs something in that day to follow Jesus. In our country today, it doesn't cost us anything to follow Jesus. Not really. Oh, maybe someone might make fun of you by the water cooler in the workplace. Who cares? Man up. We don't really know what persecution is in this day in our country. I talked to a man a few years ago, very successful man from China, very wealthy man. He had a lot of financial investments and Christian man. And he told me that he was leaving to go back to China. And I asked him why, like, isn't things good here? He's like, yes, but my church, my home church in China, the underground church, he said that the authorities in our province are coming and they come in with rods and clubs and they beat the congregation for gathering together. They'll storm in every time we meet and they'll just come in and beat them. And so he said, my father, who's now in his 70s, and some of the other elders and pastors, what they do now is they link arms and they stand at the door to get in and they make a human fence with their arms and they take the beating so that everyone else can come and be uninterrupted to study God's word. And I'll tell you, men, hearing something like that, this man said, I'm going to go back so that I can take their place and link arms with them and take the beating so that more people can hear the gospel. We don't know what persecution is in our country. We have it so easy. And because following Christ really doesn't cost us anything, we're told in American Christianity, come to Jesus so your life can be blessed. And listen, our lives are so blessed following Jesus. But the word blessing in the Bible doesn't always mean God giving you something more. It's usually in reference to God making you into someone more. And when it doesn't cost us anything, when it's so easy to follow Christ, comparatively speaking, to other places around the world, it causes our faith to be weakened where we don't stand strong and stand up for God in the way that we need to. Jesus never promised that life would be easy. He said, you will have troubles. But each of us tonight are going to have a choice. Are we going to remain faithful to what God has called us to do? Or are we going to quit? Throw in the towel. On whatever it is that you know that God has called you to be faithful to. Whether it's serving Him or whether it's serving your wife. Whether it's serving in ministry or being an example and a light for Him in your community. Will you man up or will you quit? It's the very encouragement that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. If you put a bookmark there, flip over there with me. I'm going to end here. I just want us to look at this one verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. The key to this verse is not the fact that you're winning a prize. It's how we are to live to receive the prize. It says only one receives the prize. That's not talking about one person, but it's talking about one type of person. How do I run? How do you run? How can we be the men to run in such a way that we would receive the prize? That is, that when we stand at the Bema seat in heaven, that's the reward stand, and stand before God and give an account of our lives, that we would be one that would be rewarded greatly by God because of how we live this life. How do we run in such a way to win? Well, it says in verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. If we're going to be men that compete, men that really run this race in the way that we're called to run this race, which is just simply our journey through life with Jesus, we need to be temperate. The word temperate can be defined to exercise self-restraint. You see, we have to be those that when we feel like quitting, feel like giving up, feeling like being unfaithful, feeling like throwing in the towel on whatever it is that God has called us to do, to be those that are temperate and not give up, to exercise the self-restraint from stepping out of the calling because of the lack of comfort. Don't let discomfort disqualify you from your call. If we live for comfort, oftentimes men will miss our call. And we have to make sure that no matter how difficult or whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're walking through, that we don't let it sway us out of our call. We have to be temperate. That word temperate is where we get the word in our English language, tempered steel. Have you ever heard of tempered steel? Tempered steel, it's the strong steel. It's the steel that doesn't crumble when you go to dig in some hard soil, or as a weapon, the swords that would last in battle, they're tempered steel. But do you know the process of something becoming tempered? I'll tell you the process. It's fire and pounding. Oh, you remember the old Knights movies, the movies, those legendary movies with some type of steelsmith forging a sword, takes that sword and lays it on that anvil and starts pounding it over and over and over again with great force. And then he takes it off that anvil and sticks it in the fire, heats it up until it's red hot right before the molecules are about to fall apart and the sword dissolves. That master craftsman pulls the sword out, cools it off, and then places it back on the anvil and begins pounding. And that is the process through fire and pounding that something becomes tempered. Can I suggest to you today that our master craftsman, God, has his hand on the thermostat of your life. And God realizes the battles that are before us, and he doesn't want you to be a weak weapon for the kingdom of God, something that will go to battle and crumble and break, because there'll be greater damage done if that takes place. You've seen it. I've seen it. Men that God would use, men that have been in this church no longer walking with God. Men that have been standing in the pulpits of churches around our country. We've seen even recently many men with mega ministries no longer serving God. And it does such damage to the body of Christ. How does that happen? Never going through the process of becoming tempered. You see, God will take our lives and realizes the battles that are ahead of you. He knows the things that he wants you to have victory over, the things that you'll face in your life. And so he says, listen, we got some work to do in your life. So God will take your life and he'll allow you to go through what we call a fiery trial. The one that James, to open up the study today, we learned, count it all joy when you go through those fiery trials. Why? Why count it all joy when you go through the fire? Because it's going to be accomplishing something within you. And it's going to be burning something off of you. And you're placed in the fire, and then you're in the fire, and you're like, God, any day now, like, I can't take this anymore. God, I can't take this anymore. And God's like, no, you can. A little bit longer. And then at the right time, he'll pull you out. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. You got me out of this. Oh, Lord, no. Not the poundings, God. And then you go through the poundings. And then right when the poundings stop, oh, thank you, Lord. It's, oh, I need things easy again. Then back into the fire. But the Lord is doing that to accomplish something within you that would have never existed without walking through those things. I'll tell you this. The hardest times in my life produce something within my life that would have never existed unless I had walked through those things. And I'm convinced in my own life personally that God is much more concerned with the character than your comfort. That God's more concerned with who you're becoming than your current circumstances. And that God sees something in your life and has a purpose for your life and a calling on your life. And he doesn't want you to break under the pressures of the world or the attacks of the enemy, whatever it is that would thwart God's plan for your life. So he has to take us through some things. But will we man up and stand up in a strong and manly way? Or will we be swept away by the tides of society and the currents of culture? Listen, if you've been crushed, if you've been broken, listen, God isn't allowing those things to ruin your life. And I'm not even saying that God is causing those things in your life. Because whether you follow God or not, you're still going to go through difficulties. We're just foolish when we try to go through them without God, because then they have no purpose. But when you walk through those difficulties, know this. It's in those times that you will experience the presence of God unlike ever before. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The three men that manned up when everyone else in culture was bowing down before the idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebi said, everyone's got to bow down when the music plays. But these three men, they stood up and they remained faithful to God. And so King Nebi said, hey, I'm going to give you another chance because I liked you boys. You served in my council. You've accomplished great things. He knew them personally. And yet, I'm going to give you another chance, but if you don't bow down this time, I'm going to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. And yet, they said, we will not. King Nebuchadnezzar, enraged, He took them and commanded them to be thrown in the fire. And the very soldiers that threw them into the fire after they were bound with ropes melted from the heat of the furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar is watching. And he says, didn't we throw three men into the fire? Then why do I see four? And the fourth is in the likeness of the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fire. But when they were in the fire, talk about a literal fiery trial. When they were in the fire, it's when they most clearly saw Jesus. And I'll tell you, those three men, they could have walked out of the fire at any given time. I guarantee no one would have ever told them, excuse me, sir, you kind of need to go back in there. No one would have ever tried to stop. They'd just get a little head pump, you know what? And the guards would be like, ooh, you know. They wouldn't have been able to keep them in the fire. They could have walked out whenever they wanted to, but yet they didn't. They chose to remain in their fiery trial because they were in the presence of Jesus. And men, when we realize that God doesn't always promise to keep us from difficulty, but he promises to walk through it with us, we'll experience God's presence in a way that we never have experienced his presence before when we walk through those difficulties. But not only do we have an opportunity to experience God's presence in a greater way, the world has an opportunity to see Jesus too. For King Nebuchadnezzar, who was not a believer in God, who was a pagan, when he was watching those men go through the fiery trial and yet left unaffected. When you walk through your fiery trial, when you walk through those difficulties and the way that you walk through it, when people see how it's not affecting you, how it's not causing you to lose your joy. How it's not causing you to be filled with anxiety because you're doing what Philippians told you to do, to pray about everything. And worrying about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And people realize, man, you haven't lost your joy. You haven't lost your peace or your patience or your kindness or your gentleness or your self-control. Oh, what are those? The fruits of the Spirit. And people realize that when you walk through those things, it's not affecting you like it affects everybody else. There's something different about you. They have an opportunity to see Jesus in your trial. And then you walk through it. And you know the only thing that was burnt off of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the very things that bound them to keep them from going forward. And God will allow these fiery trials in our lives, not only to develop our character, but to burn away things that will hold us back from going further with him. Maybe there's some things in our lives that need to be burnt away. It's called the refiner's fire. And in that refiner's fire that the Bible used as a picture of a Christian walking through things to melt away the impurities of our lives. Do you know how that goldsmith realized when the gold was being done through the refiner's fire? Oh, they put it over the fire. And the dross, that's all the impurities, would come to the top. And they would scoop off all that charcoal gray foam and throw it away. And then they would stir the gold up again and then let it sitting over the fire. And then all the impurities would come up and scoop it all away. And this process would be repeated over and over again. And you know when you realize the process is complete? The master craftsman would look over the gold. And when he could see his reflection perfectly in the gold, he knew it was done. When God sees his reflection in you, the refiner's process is done. And in order for people to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, there has to be things that are done away with, burnt away. Those things that would ultimately keep us from all that God has for us. Men, what God has for you is what you would want for you.
if you only knew the outcome. And God has amazing plans in store for each one of us, a purpose for each one of us. Don't allow the comfort to keep you from your calling. Follow the Lord. There's strength that comes from the struggle. There's something produced within us from the resistance. And the opposition causes us just to rise up a little higher, to soar with wings of eagles, to run and not faint. The strength comes from the struggle. There's preparation for the prize. And the resistance in our lives will bring results, that we could be men of faith that stands the test of time. May God give us the strength in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Lord, we need you. And we thank you, God, that you promised to complete the work in which you've begun in our lives. Lord, that we're not left on our own to try to clean up our act, to fix our problems. But you call us just to walk closely to you. And then you'll take care of the rest. Lord, maybe there's some men here tonight who aren't walking closely with you. Maybe there's been some things in their lives, God, that has kept them from being the men that you've called them to be. Lord, maybe there's some things in our lives that you want to burn away with and deal with tonight. Lord, we understand tonight the importance and the need to be faithful in what you've called us to. God, help us not to allow the comfort that we often live for, the culture of the easiest path. Keep us, Lord, from walking the path that's the right path. Lord, maybe there's some men here tonight that have been struggling with faithfulness. Maybe it's been faithfulness to their wife. Maybe it's been faithfulness to their calling. And Lord, maybe there's some men here tonight that feel like they just can't take one more step forward. But God, we thank you that you promise that in our weakness, your strength is best made known. And Lord, that you promise to complete the work that you've begun, carrying us on to completion. But God, tonight, would you help us to be the men that would remain faithful in all that you've called us to. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, just between you and the Lord tonight. Maybe there's some men right now that would say, you know what? I haven't been walking right. I need to get back on track with God. I've been allowing the difficulties and the cares of this world, whatever it is in your life. But tonight, understanding the importance of being faithful and remaining faithful to what God has called you to do. But perhaps tonight you just need to recommit or commit your life to Christ. To say, God, you know what? I need you to take my life. And if you can use this life, God, I want you to use it for your purposes and your plans. It's when you submit your life to God's will that God will take your life and use it to accomplish the purposes in which you were created for. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if tonight you want to get back on track and get right with God and start living the life that God has called you to be, the man that God's called you to be, I want to pray for you tonight. I want you just to raise up your hand wherever you're at right now. Just hold up your hand high. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. God already knows where you're at with him. It's you needing to acknowledge that you need him to make you right with him. And this is just saying, God, take my life. I want to surrender it all to you. The areas of my life that I haven't given to you, God, I want to surrender to you tonight. If you're raising your hand, I want you just to keep it up right now. And if you're raising your hand right now, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to take a stand for God. Quite literally a stand for God, because in just a moment, I'm going to ask for you to stand to your feet. Satan's going to tell you to put your hand down. I want you to keep it up. Because if you can't man up and recognize your need for God and confess that in front of men that are going to applaud you and encourage you in this commitment to follow Christ, you're not going to be able to do it outside of these four walls, I'll tell you that. And we want to give you an opportunity to stand for God tonight in a place where men will encourage you and applaud you. It begins here, but it goes out from here. And if you're raising your hand right now, I'm going to ask for you to take a stand when I count to three. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he died for you. Three, stand and receive the forgiveness that he offers to you now. Any others right now? Stand to your feet and join these, and I want to pray for you. God bless you as well. Any others? You can leave here tonight the same way that you came in, but God has different plans for you. But it starts with confessing and acknowledging your need for him. Any others right now? Just stand to your feet and receive what God has for you today. And as you stand, I want to pray over you. But before I do, maybe there's some that are standing right now that need to make that commitment or recommitment to follow Christ. I want you to pray this out loud. And believe this in your heart. I'm going to ask for those men that are sitting right now to pray this out loud with you, to surround you in this prayer. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving me and thank you for dying for me. I give you my life. Take me and use me for your purposes and for your plans. I will follow you all the days of my life. I love you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.